All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 6:30. I'm going to call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, led tonight by Councilmember Leland.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks everybody for coming out. Next up, we have a East Tunnel Superfund update, EPA DQs members.
And friends.
We really got it all today, huh? Fancy.
Hello, Mayor, City Council members. So our update today is we're still waiting on our contractor for yard remediations. So the Army Corps has told us the middle of March now. I'm hoping it happens before St. Pius Day so we can celebrate and we have a contractor on board. So we're looking middle of March now, which would roughly put us at actually shovels in the ground in June at the earliest at the site. So Jess and Mackenzie and I will be starting to communicate more aggressively or proactively with residents who are on deck to have their yards remediated. And just letting folks know the timeline. But if you hear anyone's like, what's going on, send them our way. We're getting a lot of inquiries right now. Let's see. Last week, I had a good conversation with Kevin and RPA about the sewer system. Maybe you're going to have that in your update, but I think we're starting to figure out maybe where arsenic could be coming from in the wastewater. So that's helpful. Let's see. On today, I brought some friends, our contractors, on our remedial investigation. And do you want to introduce yourselves so they know who you are?
Yeah, Nakia Green. I'm a project manager for Hydrogeologic here to support you.
And I'm Ted Decker, field team leader by Hydrogeologic.
So these two, you'll start to see them more here at City Hall, potentially, especially as we do some investigation to the old ASARCO data. But also, we have some maps here with what we're going to start to do to look at the extent of contamination beyond the current Superfund site boundary. And this is just FYI. So we're looking right now at a study area. It's the black and white hash mark. So it's a little bit further than the current boundaries. We've drawn that boundary based on wind patterns primarily, and where we think emissions from the smelter may have gone. The red stars on that map are where we will be collecting samples in April. We're working with the county, Lewis and Clark County, Jefferson County, letting you all know, I don't think we're going to be sampling in East Helena proper. We've got a pretty good handle on the data inside the city boundaries, but this is mostly for your awareness so you know what we're up to. The sampling will happen in April. And anything else? That's it.
I do have a question. The list of residents who they've either requested or you've determined that there's been remediation, has that been given to the city? Will Kevin or Amy have that?
We have not given that to the city yet. I think we could do that.
I don't know if you would need it. I just feel like people had questions or wanted to know.
Absolutely.
For them to know if they're going out to do the work.
In addition to that, once we have a contractor on board, we will be planning phases. So it is possible that the contractor will want to work in a particular neighborhood and finish that neighborhood and then move on to another area. So once we have that prioritization mapped out, then we will definitely be reaching out to Kevin so he knows that we're going to be working in that area for extended time. So city services or any other impacts, we'll try to minimize those as much as possible. So.
Thanks, Bridget. You. Next up is public comment. This time is set aside for all public comment on non-agenda items. I would draw to your attention that all council members have received written public comment from Mr. Jensen, and they have read. So are there any public comments on non-agenda items?
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. As I stated in my previous January 6, 2026 public comments pertaining to new business number 6, wastewater phase 2 bond resolution, the estimated aggregated principal amount of $21,600,000 reflected in the resolution, which does not also reflect the estimated cost of long-term interest payments, is an excessive amount of debt for the City of East Helena residents to commit to at this point in time, due to its current residential, especially non-residential level, and also its projected ADUs. Also, based on the statements made during the January 6, 2026 council meeting pertaining to the Rose Hills SIV bond, the majority of the residential dwellings located there would now be market-based, not low-income, affordable, sweat equity-based, as low as 30% or less, with a maximum of maybe 40%. In addition, the Rose Hill SID bond included a list of proposed infrastructure improvements that would be funded, but as I stated in the meeting, the list did not include Rose Hill's development share of the proposed wastewater phase two infrastructure improvements, along with not including their share of the phase one infrastructure improvements and their share of the current metals plant infrastructure cost debt service, which, based on the limited information provided to the public, would be at least a minimum of $8 million. Simply, Rose Hills development share should not be funded by the proposed excessive 105% increase in residential wastewater rates over the next 2 years, when the Rose Hills SID bond is now a viable funding source for their share of the current and proposed East Helena wastewater facility, thus would significantly reduce the proposed residential wastewater rate increases to the average East Helena resident now and for the next 20 to 30 years. And if for any reason the Rose Hills development does not build out in the timely manner, or if not at all, like the Highland Meadows and Red Fox Meadows subdivisions, the average East Helena resident does not have to advance slash pay for the Rose Hills development share of the expanded wastewater facility, since the Rose Hills bond is secured, guaranteed by non-East Helena funding sources regardless of the level of build out, which is important. In closing, regardless of what the people in this room think tonight, the City of East Helena is really still only a reasonably sized small homeowners association that has been incorporated since the population level is still not enough to warrant a higher urbanized classification. The wastewater treatment facility issues need to be addressed utilizing cost-effective solutions based on the current size of this community and not solutions at any cost that a fee-oriented consulting firm has recommended and currently benefits from. Excessively high levels of consulting fees that would also continue well into the future. Incorporating the Rose Hills development share of the proposed interim wastewater facility into their bond is the most cost-effective, reasonable, equitable, logical solution that will protect the average East Helena resident from unnecessary, costly water rate increases now and in the future, along with reducing the level of long-term debt that the City of East Helena residents will have to be responsible, which is critical. Thank you.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any other public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none, move to the approval of minutes. We have in front of you both February 3rd and February 17th minutes. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve.
Both?
I'll second.
I have a motion to approve both minutes and a second.
I wasn't here for the third, so can we do them separate?
Let's do them separate. Mm-hmm. I motion to approve the third in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
With abstaining? Mm-hmm. I have a motion to approve the 17th minutes.
Mm-hmm. Move to approve those.
I did have a motion. I said that. I assumed there was a motion. You want a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion now.
Second.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll abstain because I
would
be here.
Yeah. One does the platitude. Yep, there we go. All right, that brings us to the department reports. Amy is.
There were two abstentions.
Two abstentions, yes.
So you need to vote.
Two abstentions?
Don't
we? Or is one
on
each, though?
They were on different ones.
They were one on each. You separated them.
No.
We were on the 17th.
The 17th, they were both abstaining because they weren't.
Oh, people. I vote to vote. Aye.
Except.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would be reported. Court report. In your packet, you have the court report from the judge for Keith Basic regarding the payments and such. Nothing new to report there, really. As far as department reports go, Amy is been out with a family matter, and so she is excused tonight. So that brings us to police department and then Chief Royce.
Good evening, everybody. Apologize for my voice. It's a little cold. And haven't been here for a while, and unfortunately I have a lot to tell you, so here we go. So during February, we were involved in 416 calls for service, which just under half of those were traffic-related. We also completed 30 case reports, which is 10 more reports than we were at last year at this same time. So reports are starting to increase. Our calls continue to increase, but the calls, the reports that we're getting are time-consuming reports as well. So for example, Chris and I sat on a crash on Highway 12 yesterday for about 4.5 hours blocking Highway 518. Semi drove across the tracks and hooked one of the rails and ripped everything up. So that was time consuming. We had a domestic last week that took about 8.5 hours and 2 officers to investigate. So there's a lot of time involved in some of these cases as well. There was a big assault that Wednesday night. Wednesday night there was an assault over by JFK Park. 9 different people were kind of involved, juveniles and adults. And we unfortunately didn't have anybody on, so Highway Patrol, not Highway Patrol, Helena PD and County had to respond to that. So there's a lot of theft going on in East Helena right now. There's a lot of door arrests. There's a lot of car crashes. Just landing some. Last month, I attended a meeting with the crisis response team. They informed me of some changes in their organization that they implemented. These changes should assist law enforcement in time management and not force us to remain on scene or at the hospital as long. So when we put somebody into protective custody, we are at the hospital until we are released by caregiver. Sometimes that's an hour, sometimes that's 4 hours, 5 hours. We've all been there for more than that. So they're changing their way of doing business so that they can get us back on the streets quicker. So that's a good thing. They also asked me to be a representative for their coalition, which I gladly accepted. Public Health Department issued us with a new batch of Narcan, as ours was outdated. They also brought many hard-sided gun cases to the department to give away. So if anybody needs one or knows of anybody that needs one or wants one, there's single cases, single rifle cases, double rifle cases. We're getting some handgun safes. These are all free to anybody who wants them. So we've been handing them out as best we can. It's their push to prevent accidental shootings and worse sides. So it comes with gun locks, just a great, great program. So if you know of anybody, send them our way. We can hook them up with some. Let's see, I also participated in monthly CJC C meeting, local chamber meeting, high-risk offender meeting, an IT session, and attended the TOW Association breakfast. And I also met with Timothy Allred from the Montana Post Council to get a better understanding of how they can assist us. I had lunch with Highway Patrol on the 25th. We discussed how we can assist each other better and more efficiently. MHP is extremely busy with crashes, and they get spread thin very often. Therefore, since we already respond to highway crashes to assist troopers, we are now going to investigate all crashes that happen on Highway 12, 518, and 282 within our jurisdiction. So they're having a harder time, not every day, but responding out here quickly. So because we investigate our own crashes, they asked if we'd be interested in doing that, and we accepted that. They're also asking that if there's a nearby crash within a few miles of East Helena, if we would respond to that and get things started until they can get there. So they're kind of strapped. So we're going to try to lend a hand for them. So what does that mean for us? It's going to mean more crashes, more cases, more call-outs. So we have somebody on call when Highway Patrol is off duty at night, which can vary from midnight to 3. So depending on who's on for them, our on-call coverage starts when they're gone, because county doesn't investigate crashes. So the crash goes to Highway Patrol. So if they're off, we will be responding to that. Let's see, what else? Additionally, with the Highway Patrol, because we are going to help them, they are going to allow our officers to attend their crash school for free. So they offer crash school 3 times a year in Boulder. So Kyle's already attended that. So we'll be sending everybody else to one of those schools to get caught up a little bit more on some of the bigger traffic crashes. Highway Patrol said they will assist on any crash that we would like them to, and they'll handle all the major crashes and deaths if they need to. They're going to send one of their troopers up here in the next couple weeks to give us some additional training. So we'll see where that goes. Officer Kyle Butler attended the DUI task force meeting last month. He's our representative moving forward, so he'll do that each month. On Valentine's Day, Officer Butler participated in the annual Passion Plunge, also known as the Polar Plunge, Special Olympics. He also worked with East Helena kindergartners on 227 day last week, and handed out pencils and stickers and then kind of hung out with the kids for a little bit. And next week, he's going to a local daycare to be a story to the kids. So kind of getting out there a little bit and helping kids. Officer Kierkegaard attended the Montana Narcotics Officer Association conference in Butte. He participated in roundtable discussions and lectures Monday through Thursday and has brought back valuable information on how to better find drugs doing our investigations. My name has been brought forth as a potential board member for the Montana Security Threat Group, STG. This group focuses on gang-related crimes, as well as organized crime groups. The Valley is starting to experience more gang-related activity, especially with juveniles. And we have had a couple of those juvenile gang kinds of things recently as well. JFK Park is a hot spot for that lately. So they'll vote on moving my name forward tomorrow. Tomorrow I will also attend the Rocky Mountain Emergency Services meeting. And next week I'll be at the East Helena Planning Committee meeting. I think that's next week.
Okay.
Yeah. With Wes. And then assisting Helena PD with their interviews for assistant chief. Any questions?
I have a couple.
Sure.
The first one is, are the City of Helena Police, are they investigating crashes that happen there with the Highway Patrol?
So they do their own crashes.
Also?
Yes.
So if there's a Highway Patrol incident and they're on, they also would contact City of Helena.
So Helena, regardless of what happens, they investigate their own crashes. If it was a fatality, I believe Highway Patrol would be a fatality. It goes to Highway Patrol. Other than that, they take their crashes. It didn't used to be that way, but they do now.
Okay.
But they have their own crash investigator to include the interstate. And that does include the interstate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they're busy. And they've said, too, that they would help us out if we needed it.
Crash. Okay. Second question, when will the position be posted for the police officer?
I don't know that, to be honest.
We have a deputy chief position open.
It is open.
It is the position we have.
Yeah.
We talked about it today. We're maybe thinking the restructuring is possible. We don't know.
Okay.
I mean, we're not sure I want to go about it. But
I would like to hire a fifth officer
mm-hmm.
and not have a deputy chief right away
mm-hmm.
and then give it some time and then pursue the deputy chief position. That would be my plan or my goal for structure. Keep the deputy chief, but not announce it or not promote it, hire it, whatever you want to call that, for a little while. maybe a year. We'll get things going and then try to prove somebody that way.
Well, just knowing how pressed you all are anyway, I find that to be a pressing issue to get that position hired.
Yes, it would benefit us. If we can't, more at trainings or sick or vacation, we can't cover the shifts that we need to cover. So that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Chief.
Right, thank you.
So pulling double duty tonight, we're going to go to the bullpen here, have Kevin do his actual job.
Yeah.
Amy's
in my own meeting back here. So I don't have a whole lot. We'll put you guys on my report. As a reminder, public meeting for next Monday and Tuesday again, March 9th, 10 to 11, and the 10th, 6 to 7 at night in the gym. So pass that along to everybody that's asking. This is just something funny that was in my last report, but since we canceled it, I meet with the guys every morning out at the wastewater plant, and Scotty made the comment about how he's getting complaints about the same truck being too quiet. And at first I didn't pay any mind. I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I've actually had residents that used to listen for the garbage truck coming down the street, and that's when they would go put out their can. Well, now that new truck's so quiet, he's had to go around the block a couple of times because people are chasing him down and haven't heard him coming. So
maybe
laugh.
Maybe needs a horn.
Yeah, no kidding. He's got to make his wave louder or something. Yeah, but it made me laugh when he said it. I did get confirmation from MMIA that the tree damage at Main Street Park is covered under our insurance, and they also cover replacement costs of the trees and stuff and the sprinkler repair. So that's great there. And then I just wanted to, I think this was in the last report too, but I don't remember, but an update on where we're at with the RAISE grant or build grant, I guess, for Valley Drive. 2 weeks to 6 months is the time frame that we have now that they're hoping we have an assigned agreement for. Currently, we're in the acquisitions and grant review, then it goes to federal legal review, and then lastly, their security review, and they all respond with their comments. So, that's where we're at. Keep our fingers crossed that it's sooner than later. But when we pressed them on the time frame, that was their response.
Tell them
2 weeks to 6 months.
Tell them the reason our application got kicked back on the last one.
The last thing was is they changed the template again because so the funny. Drones that you can use in surveying, there's only certain brands. They have to be the brands that are built within the U.S.
You can't have
any drones. Luckily, Stanley does own the correct type of drone that we use, so we didn't have to go back and resurvey anything. Some of the template changes seem a little bit silly, but we're working through it. So, questions? Okay, let me sit down.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Next up is Baltimore Fire Department, Chief Campbell.
Good evening, everyone. I haven't had a lot tonight. Last month was a pretty, I wouldn't say slow month for us, but it was uneventful. We only had 14 calls, 10 medical. We had a lot of accidents like Chief Royce was saying. We don't necessarily go to all of them, but the ones that we've been to have been kind of significant, mostly on the highway. We did have one structure fire, it was a chimney fire, classic. And then the last thing is our ISO inspection has finally been scheduled. We're on the calendar for March 20th. And we should be pretty well through that. I have almost everything I need already. Sent off to them for pre-survey. I'm waiting for a couple things that Kevin and I talked about today. Other than that, I think we're ready to go. It's doing pretty well. Any other questions?
What is ISO?
Insurance Services Organization. So it can affect your insurance rates if we go something like we're currently at 5, and that's as high as we can go without a name. So if we go to a 6, it can affect your insurance rates. Right now, the fight is with the subdivision north of the school. All the insurance companies are still telling them they're a 9, which is the worst rating you can get. And it could be hundreds of dollars for your insurance.
Is it any subdivision?
No, the, what is it, one? Spring Meadow or
Spring
New, Mountain View Meadows?
Oh, south of the high school.
South of the high school.
South of the high school, yeah, north of the other high school.
Okay.
Wait, two. So they're telling them that they're all 9s and we're fighting. I'm having to fill out extra paperwork for all these insurance places, talking about how much water we can bring in, how much water we flow off the hydrants that we have. And hopefully this inspection will quell all that and we'll be all back to I sent them the insurance paper, the paperwork from our last inspection. Unfortunately, they only do a physical every 5 years, and the insurance company wouldn't accept that. I'm like, well, that's all there is. I got Amanda from ISO involved, and she's working on it, so we'll get this inspection out of the way.
Thanks for doing that. We should do more to make that known that we're trying to help those residents.
Everybody that called me, they know, and I've called their insurance companies directly. Mm-hmm. They're sending me the forms. I have a set of forms now that I just keep printed out. So that when they call me, I can just email it off to them and get it done. But the big thing is, because it's a new subdivision, a lot of the fire hydrants haven't been platted in GIS yet. And so that's one of the things we're working to correct right now. So and that'll happen as part of
you could tell us that, isn't it?
But they were in vigilante.
What? Well, that's good. Vigilante's
the national of the high school.
Sarah and
yeah.
I haven't gotten any calls from them. It's a lot of them are on Sterling Loop or there's another one in there that I get a lot of calls from. But Sterling Loop is the biggest one that I make any calls. And it's really, it's obscene because they call me and they're like, well, they don't have any fire service. And I'm like, well, they do. There's us. And then they're within 200 feet of a fire hydrant, no matter which way they walk out of their house. Yeah, I mean, so we have the capabilities there. So. We did make a couple of little changes to what we're doing as far as run cards for that, but that's insignificant to this. So, any other questions?
Thanks, Chief.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, that brings us to unfinished business. The only item is the thing we didn't get knocked out last week because we didn't really have enough people. It's the request for the fee waiver of the city council room on the March 9th and 10th for the IMBAC hometown or home team as working together information for the community review. I'll turn this over to Wes. Wes, do you want to talk about football?
Yeah, I brought it up. So we, as many of you know, and should have hopefully been sent out to you. Was that sent out to you about the community review times?
Yes.
Hope so. I don't send it out to all of you as we don't, but I did send that to make sure. But I know with Amy's absence, to make sure it got to you. But the home team for the Montana Economic Developers Association and then done through the Montana Business Assistance Connection, this community review that's being done, they just want to use the council chambers for either their own when they meet or for some of our meetings, one of them being for the County Wilma City that we'll be meeting in here on the Tuesday, and then for them to have an additional room. So the space has been booked. There wasn't anything else booked during the times that they will be here, but I'm just asking there to be a for that and for a fee waiver for the organization to conduct these listening sessions in this room.
Is there any public counsel or public comment on the request? Counsel.
I'd make a motion to approve.
A motion to approve.
I'm making it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Can I vote on this one since I brought it up? I think I still
can. I think you're probably okay you think? Oh. Yeah, I think. Trust your judgment. You have three votes anyway, so you're going to be good here. All right. That brings us to new business. This is the fun, the good stuff here. Life-saving award. The competition goes on between the Butlers. Again, I think we're moving to the top of the fourth inning now. So, again, Kyle Butler, I'll turn it over to Chief for another awesome thing.
Okay, this is fun stuff. Excuse me. Today we recognize Officer Kyle Butler for his extraordinary actions and unwavering commitment to protecting and serving our community. While on duty on January 16th, Officer Butler responded swiftly and decisively to a life-threatening emergency on the 3600 block of East Main Street, demonstrating exceptional courage, professionalism, and compassion. Officer Butler arrived on scene and found a female victim lying on the ground near her vehicle and was not breathing. Without hesitation, Officer Butler began CPR on this individual as she was in critical condition, using his training and presence of mind to provide immediate life-saving care. A short time later, a nearby citizen took over CPR while Kyle retrieved his AED. East Helena Fire arrived and applied the AED to the patient while CPR continued.
While the AED was analyzing the heart rhythm, the female appeared to start breathing and a pulse was detected. In those crucial moments, his quick thinking and calm demeanor made all the difference. Because of his efforts, a life was preserved and a family was given more precious time with their loved one. Officer Butler's actions reflect the very best of law enforcement. Dedication, bravery, and a deep sense of responsibility to others. This commitment to serving the community extends far beyond the call of duty, embodying the highest standards of our profession. It is with great pride and gratitude that we acknowledge Officer Kyle Butler for his heroic life-saving efforts and for setting an outstanding example for his fellow officers and the community he so faithfully serves. This is Officer Butler's second life-saving award in the past 5 months, I believe. And so congratulations to Officer Butler. Kyle already received the pin on his chest from the first one, so he gets a certificate for the second. So both Butlers have two life-saving awards. So first two. 1 to 5 gets it.
All right. Again, that's the good stuff. We appreciate you, Kyle. Thank you very much. Okay, next up is the flip page. RPA Task Order 32, Upper Pressure Zone Water Tank at Pump Station. This one got me on it. This is basically a task order allowing Robert Petchett to bill basically Jacob for this. But Jacob, you'll notice in here, Jacob has agreed to pay for any of the things. He's going to go through the city as for that agreement we're looking at. So that funding system working. So kind of that's about it. Okay, that's the basis of it. No output of the city, but it just allows them, Robert Petchett, to bill for this stuff. That is the gist of that. Is there any public comment on it? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve task order 32.
I have a motion to approve.
A second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any questions? Okay.
I'll do them.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense. All right. Mayor's report. Ooh, now we're going to be bored. All right. So it's been a while since actually, like, because last time they didn't really have a report. So sometimes we got to do fun things. Is he still here? Yeah, he is. I don't see him. I got to go ride along with Chris. It was fun. I took Chief up on his offer, did the ride on, went around for like 3-4 hours. 5 minutes into it, he's chasing kids in the park. And I'm like, did not bring popcorn, Chris. Yeah. I was just going to sit there and eat popcorn. But after that, we got to see. No, I'm not. I don't think the insurance company wants me getting out to chase anybody. Also, like, yeah. I don't, also, the chasing days of me are done. They don't chase me anymore, and I don't run anymore. So that's the thing. But yeah, it was really cool to see kind of just what they do. Have just a little bit of understanding, not a whole lot. I mean, a little of what they see in the day-to-day, their jobs. I encourage you all to take them up on their offer. I think there's value in it, just to understand what they do. Again, you don't have to work a whole shift with them or anything. They're very flexible. Chris was great. Appreciate you taking me on, showing me. I had a great time. I mean, I ran out of things to talk about because, I don't want your job. Let's start there, but I do appreciate you doing it. So it was worthwhile. I think there's value in you guys if you guys want to take them up on it as well. So that's there. We've attended both the wastewater meetings. Most of you were at least one. Some were at two. A lot of fun there. A lot of good times. Nothing quite as fun as telling people your plant's struggling. A lot of good times. And also went and rode a bus around with Wes's friends at Leadership Helena. Kind of an interesting group. They go like once a month and they have a different kind of a whole day plan where they learn things and they, it's a 12-month program for them to go through that to graduate Leadership Helena.
Say what?
It's a 12-month program. It's a 1-year program. Yeah. So every month they have a different like thing. And for some reason they want to listen to me talk, which makes no sense. But Wes had it all arranged. It was really good. It was cool to see people showing interest in East Helena again. But that was pretty much the basics of what I've done. Nothing too exciting. Any questions, fellas? Nothing cool. All right. Move on to council member reports. Council member Dahl.
I attended the Water Quality District meeting
and the two wastewater meetings. About it.
Councilor Valila.
I did the wastewater meetings as well, and that's it for me.
Councilor Feist.
The leadership panel was good. It's the civics and government day that Bay Candy's telling him. Typically, they were due to Helena. They learned more about East Helena and our government. And I can tell you that they thoroughly enjoyed our day. I won't compete too much, but I think that they enjoyed our portion more than Helena. So always good to hear that.
We're definitely more casual form of government.
But we also, the tour was good. We appreciated Kevin took us to the wastewater treatment plant. And so it was good for them to see it and see what's going on in our construction with that plant that needs it and just all the growth and development within our area. So it was good. Coffee with the chamber otherwise. Just the food truck festival, it'll be coming back. They are actually coordinating with nonprofits and going to sponsor one. So the chamber did take up becoming a fiscal sponsor for the food truck festival this summer. So they'll be able to give money to nonprofits and coordinate through that so they can raise money and apply for some different things. So that's a good opportunity and excited for that. Just as a reminder for city and county staff and elected folks is that the city county municipal planning for this community review is on Tuesday at 1 here in this room. Should be about an hour and 15 minutes. And just want to hear from us about what's going on. Public welcome to any of these meetings and hope that you attend. But this one is specific to elected officials and city county staff. So encourage you to come to that. Otherwise, since we did not have a meeting, there was one more thing that I was going to bring up. And Kelly, I don't know if you want to talk about it more, but visiting with Representative Downing, they came and visited with us. And
coming out, I think, at one of them, I think we talked about taking it on the slate pile already. I know we did.
What's that?
We talked about taking them on the slate pile already. Yeah, we already covered that
one. Sorry, that may have been meaning that I wasn't happy, but and looking forward to visiting with them again about different grant opportunities. So that's what I got.
Thank you. Councilmember Ferguson.
Went to one of the wastewater treatment plant meetings.
All right. That brings us to the legal report. Peter.
Report has been going well. The police department continues to be pretty active and things are progressing pretty well through the court system. I did have them include in your packet today a letter we got on behalf of the East Clark Street Water Sewer District or Sewer District. I just want to make sure y'all are apprised as timely as possible when I get these things. Last time I spoke to this individual was back in May, as he referenced. He had sent a letter like this in April of last year, so nearly an entire year ago before I heard back from him. Again, just trying to keep y'all appraised of what's occurring. I sent him a reply email to this letter. We received this on the 18th. That's when it was mailed. I replied on the 23rd. I told him I did not believe that. And I believe the letter you provided accurately captures our conversation from last year. The East Helena City Council passed the reinstatement agreement after consulting with the East Clark Street District. And at this point, I believe it is appropriate for you to address the council directly with a written alternative proposal. So if you read this, he's demanding or asking or telling me to rewrite something that you've already passed. I told him on the phone last year, it's already passed the council. We've been working with East Clark Street. This is an attorney that got involved late. So I just replied, one, your letter's not accurate. And two, just come to the city council and do a little bit of the work on your own. He addresses the fact that he didn't try to talk to the attorney that was helping them prior, made no effort. I reached him in the first phone call that I made to Bob Murdo. He answered. I talked to him. I said, did this guy ever talk to you? Has he put any effort into this? He's not. So again, as openly as possible, I received this letter nearly a year after receiving the first one. I replied, come to the city council, do a little bit of homework. But I've not heard back. So that's that. It's frustrating. I'm frustrated. But anyway, no, it has not.
Give it a year, you'll probably get a letter.
But again,
I have a question about it.
Send it.
The way it's stated that the board has the sole authority to reallocate those 107 connections.
Right. There is some discussion. Again, I disagree with much of what's contained in this letter.
So that's not your legal opinion that they have full discretion to reallocate those 107, like as they wish. So I'll unplug it today and plug it into someone else, and tomorrow I'll plug it back in.
So if you recall, part of the issue we had, and he was here in the room, was that there, when they put this in, there are 107 connections in the ground, meaning they have service lines tapped out underneath trailers over there, and the people have been under those trailers hooking up and not telling us, which is why we put in there, it's a gallonage. It's a, we charge them by gallon, not by connection, but there are physically in the ground 107 connections. So when they say they're reallocating, like, are you telling me you're going to go in and dig up and cap off the lines you've already, like, they're not, you don't, again, this guy's put no effort to understand anything that actually occurred in this agreement when it was arranged. So per the other fact is that they don't have an agreement currently because they stopped paying their bills for a while, and he refused to show up to public meetings because he thought the county was just going to take it over. So the agreement that he's referencing is no longer in effect, one, which we're trying to reinstate, and two, there's physical lines in the ground that he, which is why I told him your letter's not accurate. That's what I told you, that you can't reallocate something that you've already tapped out, and that we know your client is underneath trailers hooking them in and not telling anyone, and also out there digging simultaneously. So there's a lot in this letter that's just not correct. It's inaccurate. I don't know how much of it's just due to a misunderstanding or him just writing a letter on behalf of someone that walked into his office. At the conclusion of last year's conversation on May 5th that he referenced here, I told him, you need to call the attorney that was here before you. And in the last paragraph here, he says he never did. So.
And when is their official... So we canceled the agreement. What date was that?
So that goes that to their credit, they have been paying their monthly bill. They do have a 2-year period. So, and me and the mayor, like, we've been discussing, like, do we, what are
2-year date?
I don't have it. I don't have it off the top of my head, West, but I mean, we got to be coming close. The issue becomes, what is our actual recourse? Right now, they can't connect anymore. They have a stop work order from the county health department. Like, they can't do anything because they don't have an active agreement with us. He refuses to sign this one. And they're paying their bills to us for the gallonage that goes through that pump, that lift station. So essentially, I mean, we could attempt to send them a letter telling you we're going to turn off your ability to flow to the city. I just don't know that that's in anyone's best interest. But that's kind of where we're at. Like, I don't even know how to take this demand letter. I tried calling. When I sent my reply email, I got an auto response from this attorney's email address. So I
was not that Sokolov?
That's
James Sokolov.
I think the issue is how much time and effort we've put into this thing. And it just continually feels like they are not great partners. But again, if you have any questions, continue to ask. It's ongoing. Hold them to come straight to you. Like, it's already past the council. If you don't feel like you're getting honest answers from me, there's a mic. Come put it on the record. We're all here for it. They just haven't.
They have no agreement. You get the proffered agreement. They didn't choose to sign it. There's a process. It's not awesome. But there's a problem. It's written out in there.
Right.
That's are there examples of municipalities that have done something about it after the 2-year period?
Again, it goes to our recourse. I mean, they are paying their bills. They are paying for their impact.
And I don't want the impact to the actual residents there.
Well, that's the other issue.
The important thing is that one person is controlling this awful situation.
And it's not, it's the board. There is no negative impact on the city currently. They're paying their bill. We've only allocated 107 connections, which is part of the reinstatement agreement. Like, no, we're not trying to take anything away from the fact that you've bonded a project. We've allocated you gallonage for those 107 connections, meaning, you know, you paid for the lines. We're going to continue to allow you to keep using them, but you can't have any more until... I think that's their biggest hang up, because he wants to develop another parcel within that parcel, but he has to come back to you and ask for permission and show you the plan. And, you know, it was only a year or so ago, or however long it's been, where he was not paying his bill for months on end, and it got over $20,000 behind schedule. So I think that's the hang up. And that's why he's referencing reallocating some of those unused connections, but they're not unused. They're in the ground. And we know you're nefariously underneath their houses, not telling anyone, hooking these things up. We know you're doing that, which is why he doesn't want to show up here in person. I assume, because again, he's not here and he didn't call me back or email me back. But again, that there is no negative to the city in the fact that they continue to pay their bills, that we're not trying to negative, like, stop you from connecting those 107 lines that you paid to put in the ground. We're not taking back any of that gallonage or that connection, that ability to connect. We're whole, they're whole. It's just he wants to continue to develop. He just doesn't want to have to come back to you and ask. That's it.
That's it. Right. That's it. All right. That it, Pete?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. All
right. We have lots of bills to pay.
I think you saved them up.
We saved them up for you guys to say yes. It's, we only pay them one way. I think you know how we do it.
We
I have a motion to pay the bills. In a second, all those in favor? All right. With that being said, I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 7:15. Thanks for coming out, guys.
That's probably all.
Right. Tell your wife. Hi. I went to kindergarten through junior with your wife. You're